Thank God. I heard somebody say not too long ago that, you know, the load limit for a Christian, you know how they have load limits like on a bridge? You go by and it's like however many tons or whatever. A load limit for a Christian is zero. The load limit for a Christian is zero. We should not take any burden on ourselves and carry it. And that's, you know, the world's trying to always get us to take burdens. To load, you know, you have this responsibility. This is coming down the pike. Look at what's going on here in the world. What about this? Well, this could happen. Just fear, constantly. It's fear. It's you take responsibility. You better, you know, watch out. This flu's coming, or this food is not good for you anymore, and you've been eating it for 15 years, but now it could cause cancer. You know, whatever. Constantly trying to get you to take a load. But the load limit for a Christian is zero. We cast our care onto Him. When the loads try to come on us, we cast it back onto Him and say, no, I'm not taking that. No, I'm not meant to carry that. The men get tricked into carrying loads. And religion, most religions, instead of taking them away, they just say, oh, let's pile them on. You know, you think you have a load now, well, you need to do this and this and this and this too. Just piling them on. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. Religion's man-made. Christianity isn't man-made. It's God is His way. Jesus is the only way. And so we aren't to take loads in our life. We're not to carry things. We're to put that over on God. Let God be God. Let Him be God. God, you know, made the universe. He's holding it with His hand. He holds all things together. If He ever broke His word, think of it. I mean, His word created this world. If He ever broke His word and just, you know, He can't do it, He can't lie, it seemed like stuff would just fall apart because everything is upheld by His word. But He is God, we are His children, and He's got it all figured out. So we just lean on Him. Just look to Him, and as we're going along in life, those things try to start weighing us down, try to start pushing us down. We shouldn't wait till we're just crawling and can't move anymore. We just flip them off. No. That's not for me. No, that's not for me. God's taking care of me. God will supply all my needs. God is my healer. God's my peace. God's my strength. And just knock them off. They try to come on, knock them off. It tries to come on you, knock them off. Don't wait till it's pushing you down and you can't walk anymore and you're like, God, I need help. We do that a lot. We'll try everything else. We'll try to lose ourselves in different things. But we just need to stay with Him. And He doesn't want us to carry loads. But the devil will twist it to sound religious. He'll even use scripture to try to get you to carry a load. This is your burden. You need to be doing this. Oh, you ought to do more. And get you thinking you aren't doing enough. That's not God. That voice is not God. When you hear those thoughts about you not doing it, God's not going to beat you down. You know, this is not what I'm preaching on, but anyway, what you know as well as I do, like with a child, you start beating them down and pushing them down. You know with yourself, you have a boss or somebody that is constantly down on you. Does that make you want to come up and do more? Makes you want to quit. Makes you want to say, take this job and shove it. It makes you just not want to do your best. And that voice is not God. It doesn't mean God doesn't correct us or help us or direct us. No, He does. He does that through His word, and He's encouraging. He'll nudge you, but He's not going to say, you stupid person, or this is, you need to be doing this, or this is not right, and put a load on you, because that drives you. That has actually the opposite effect. It drives you into sin. It drives you in away from God. It makes you say, I can't do it anyway. What's the use? And you go over and you get yourself in a worse situation than how you started out. Because God did not intend for you to carry a load. And so whenever there's a voice or ever an inclination or ever a preacher or ever anybody that's trying to tell you you need to carry a load, it's not of God. Jesus bore the brunt. Jesus carried the cross. That doesn't mean we don't have things to do in life. Yes, he's going to give us things to do. We want to live as holy as we can. We want to run after him and live life the way he intended. But it is not work in the sense that somehow we, you know, Jesus did part of it, but man, if I don't do all this, it's not going to get done. Yeah, it's true. God can't do anything in the earth without man because he works through men. But he does not heap this big, just like a good teacher, a good boss, anybody, they don't take everything and just heap it on you and say, you better do that or else, and go and let's see how good you can do, and you better do it or else you're fired. No, a really good boss does it in such a way that you think it's your idea and you're going after thinking, I'm doing this, I want to go after it, and you think it's your idea to run with it and you're all excited about it. When in fact, he put it in, he directed you, he guided you, he encouraged you, and wound you up and let you go. That's the way a good leader does, and that God is the best leader that there ever has been and ever will be. We have a disconnect. We'll see all these things in the natural that should be done, like this is the way a good leader should act, this is the way a good boss would be, and then we know it. And if anybody ever, you know, doesn't act that way, we notice it, we don't like it, but then we go to God and it's somehow then, well, but it's all right for God to act like that. If our employers or somebody over us would act the way sometimes we put the way we're acting like God is being to us, we would not take it. But we'll go over because religion has done this. Religion has distorted things. Religion has distorted God. Our own thoughts, we grew up with things before we even knew what was happening that God implanted and ways, and the world is constantly portraying God in a warped fashion, not the way he intended at all. And so we got to shove that stuff off and push it away and look at God the way the Word describes him. And it's not as a hard taskmaster. It's not as somebody that puts burdens on us. The world is a place that tries to put burdens on us, but as Christians, we're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are here just as, you know, temporary. We're here as an occupying army, temporarily. Think of it. Temporarily. I don't care how long you live, it's still temporary. If you live 120 years, you know, was the oldest guy I saw not long ago on some news, it was like 114, still walking around and everything. You live to be 114, it's still temporary. Nothing in the light of eternity. And then we're home. And the people that are still here, if Jesus hasn't come back, I doubt we'll be around that long. But if we were, there'd be another generation running their race. And we'd be gone. And all those times we gave in to those thoughts and we got burdened down with things or got burdened down with things that we shouldn't have or looked at the temporal things and let them cloud our vision. You know, we couldn't see the forest for the trees because this thing was right in front of me. You know, this problem, I can't see inside of it. It's just pushing me down. You're never going to get past this. I can't move. I try to move, it's there. That we'll look back on those things and say, from the light of eternity, and look back and say, man, look at all these things God had for me down the line. I was duped. Well, we don't have to do that. Right now, we can look as if we're down at the end, and how do we want to end up? Well, I want to have faith in God. I want to run my race like God's word is true. I want to run where he wants me to run. Okay, then we live our life like that. And part of that is we don't get burdened down with these things that try to shove us, try to hold us, try to squeeze the very life out of us. Now, I read something recently. You've all heard it, similar things. But, you know, live your life. Think of what they're going to say about you in your obituary or what they're going to say about you at your funeral. What do you want that to be? How do we really want, when it's all said and done and we're gone? I mean, we're not dead. Our body's in the grave, but we're with Jesus. We're not here to defend ourselves anymore or say anything. And people are talking about us. What do we want said about us? What do we want? What do we want our legacy to be? Start with the end in mind. I mean, it's a sobering thought to think we're going to be We're going to go on one day. How do we want to live our lives? That'll inform us how we're going to live, what our decisions are going to be today. If we really believe God's faithful, if we really believe He is all the things we say we believe and what's in the Word, how do I want to look back on the things that I'm going through today when I'm 90 or 100 and then I pass on? If I would read in my own obituary today or talking to the people that knew me, what would I want them to say? What would I want to hear? How important are the things that we're looking at today? Is it trying to push us off? That seems so big. That's trying to push us. Am I going to even remember that? Will anybody write that down in an obituary? Well, you know, there was this one time in 2010, December, and, you know, nobody will even probably know. Because the sum total of our life, it may be something major that's going to be life transforming, but probably it's not going to transform our life. So where do we want to be down there? Where do we want to be at the end? So these things that try to make themselves look so big, push us down, get on our case, how big are they? We just need to ask ourselves, look down time and say, no, that's that, like I said at the beginning, the load limit for a Christian is zero. So we look at life in light of that. So that's hard to really wrap our mind around sometimes, because we think, ah, yeah, that's a good line. But in reality, we know there's got to be some load. Really, no. And that's probably our problem, all of us. You know, it's like we think there's this ideal and then what really is. Well, that's our problem. Our thinking's messed up somewhere where we really, if we just take God at His word and really believe that, you know, it's not our care. Brother Hagin used to say that. You know, it's not His, it's just not His job. How do you, you know, all this, people used to ask, how is this ministry, I mean, all this stuff that you have going, how do you keep it? He said, it doesn't bother me. It's God's. He started it. He's going to keep it going. Otherwise, I mean, how am I going to keep it going? How am I going to keep it going? I can't keep it going. I can't make things happen. So it's God's. I'm going to act like God's word's true. That's what we're going to do. If you've ever heard Brother Hayes, he said that so many times where, you know, people, he's mentioned where people come to him, what are we going to do now? There's this thing going. What are we going to do now? We're going to act like God's word's true. We're going to act like it's true. We're going to act as if we believe the Word of God. Wringing our hands and being worried is not acting like we believe the Word of God. It's tempting, but it's not acting like we believe the Word of God. It's actually, really, we say we believe this, but we're acting like the thing that we're worried about is going to come true. That's what we're acting like. We're not acting like the Word of God is true. But thank God we can go and there's so many times we've heard stories from people like Brother Hagin, or you read in the Bible where somebody's going through something. It's so easy to think that it was easy for them to act as they did. No, they lived life just like we do. David didn't know that he was going to knock the Goliath out with one stone. Now, he believed he was going to take the giant out, but he didn't have the benefit of reading his story that it was going to take one pebble, you know, one stone, and he was going to kill him. Or knock him out enough, or cut off his head, you know. He didn't know that. He believed God, though. And so he ran at that giant as if it were true. And think about that scene. I mean, 10 foot, the guy's 9-10 foot tall, and, you know, David's not, he's shorter than I am, this huge man, and he's running, all these people are going, what in the world is he doing? But they don't have the benefit of the DVD, or the movie, or the 50, you know, children's books are out there, or all these stories that you've heard over. He didn't have that. He was living it. He was going on. And there's Goliath, and he says, you're going down, buddy. And he acted like he believed it before it ever happened. But in our life, we got this thing standing in front of us. It's so tempting to say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, we got to be like that and just act like it's true. Go right through it. Act like it's true. Act like the Word of God is true, believe Him, and not take the things that try to come on us and act like this giant standing in front of me is end-all, be-all. I'm not going to get past it. Life basically stops here. I don't know. I move this way. I can't see past it. How am I going to get get through, and we take that care instead of saying, I'll tell you what's going to happen. God said I'm an overcomer. I don't care what it looks like. God said he is with me. He's for me. He said his burden's light. I'm walking as a Christian, and therefore my pathway is the right one. It's paved with peace, and I'm going on, and I'm going to win. And this will pass, and I will get past it, and I'll go on down the path, and it's going to be good. That's what's going to happen. And we go right along, and we just believe God. And that's how we deal with the burdens that try to come on us in life. Amen? Thank God. Why don't you turn to Psalm 24. Psalm 27, excuse me. Thank you, God. Well, I wasn't going to say any of that, but all that goes right along with what I am saying, so we'll just go on with it. Psalm 27. Let's start in verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light in my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This is David. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There's a verse I want to get to, at the end here, but we'll stop there for a second. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Say that. The Lord is the strength of my life. Say it again. The Lord is the strength of my life.
The Lord is the strength
of my life. Of my life. One more time. The Lord is the strength of my life.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Thank God. The Lord is the strength of my life. If He's my strength, I'm not weak. If He's my strength, there is nothing that can come against me and prosper. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. A tongue that rises against me in judgment I shall show to be in the wrong. That's a combination of translations, some of the amplified there. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Again, Brother Hagin, when he was, he was healed from he got off the bed of sickness. He had incurable blood disease. He had heart problems and everything. He was healed. He got up. He was halfway paralyzed. Couldn't walk. And he got up and he started, he walked and everything, started getting back into life, but he was still weak. He wasn't paralyzed anymore, but he was still weak. His muscles hadn't been used, so he was still weak. And he started working, and he was on a job. This was his confession. I remember reading it one time, or maybe I heard him say it, on a CD. And he was saying, this was his confession, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. And here he is working with guys that were in great physical condition, and he would outwork them. But he would be weak afterwards. He would be weak going to work. He was paralyzed not very long ago. But his confession, he would go off this, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. And you know what? He'd outwork them. He was believing that the Lord was his strength. The Lord is our strength today. He is our strength. So when we feel like we can't bear up under something or whatever, just remember, the Lord is our strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now go down to verse 14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. This is really what I wanted to get to today. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The margin of my Bible, it said, for wait in faith. Wait in faith on the Lord. Doesn't seem like, right along with everything we've been saying so far, when it looks like there's a burden that tries to come down and it doesn't look like it's going to move, the giant doesn't look like it's going to move, stuff doesn't look right, we wait on the Lord. Doesn't mean we sit and do nothing and wait, like you're waiting in the doctor's office. No, it means that we're waiting expectancy, expecting for God to perform His word. We're believing Him. We're in faith. We're waiting on Him. When we feel weak, we just read at the beginning here, that the Lord is the strength of our life. Well, how does he be the strength of our life? We wait on him. It says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. How does God become our strength? When we wait on him, when we look to him in faith, when we believe on him. It says, be of good courage. Courage. Courage is not the absence of fear or the absence of something coming on. It's judging that something else is more important than what is pressing you down or trying to make you afraid. It's not the absence, I should say it this way, it's not the absence of being tempted to fear. But it's judging that something else is more important or something else is going to put you, is more important, so you're going to act anyway. That's courage. Do you think David may have been at a place where he didn't have a hint of anything because he believed his God so much. But if you would have looked down the natural, he's got a guy that's more than twice his size coming up to him, and he could have been afraid, but he had courage because he believed that giant was going to have to bow his knee to a servant of Almighty God. And so he went forward. And he's the one that's writing this. He knows what he's talking about. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And we read, over where David, he would just be out in the fields. He knew God. He spent time with God. He obviously wrote so many psalms. He played. He was he'd play music, and it says when he'd come in and play for Saul, there was just it would calm Saul's spirit. But he was anointed that way. He spent a lot of time with God. He knew what this meant. He waited on God. And you know what? When he was crowned or he was anointed king, he didn't become king right away. It was years before he became king. And all that while, Saul's trying to kill him. He could have said, what is going on here? Doesn't look like this guy's ever going to get out of the way. But he knew to wait on the Lord. He knew to believe God in the spite of circumstances and to be of good courage. And he went on anyway. And he believed God. He had chances to kill Saul, but he didn't. Because he knew that wasn't the way. He didn't try to take it into his own hands. Which so many times when we're in a situation where things are on us, we feel like we got to take it in our own hands. Well, I've waited on you long enough, God. All right, I'm getting it done. That's a mistake. And it's the flesh. It's tempting. The devil will try to prod us to get us to move out of time, out of season. Try to get us to do something that we shouldn't do. Because we're getting antsy. We want something to change. If we'll just be courageous and believe God and wait on him, be expectation, just like, a mother waiting for a child to be born. Never experienced that myself, but I've seen it four times from a distance. And I know when it gets down to the end, just like, let's get it on. Let's get going. When are we going to get this through? But you don't give up. The baby's coming, and we say, "Oh yeah, well it's obvious you're pregnant." Well, sometimes it's not so obvious in life that our lives are pregnant or something's coming around the corner. Sometimes it's not. We don't have the physical signs. It's not so obvious that something's coming, and it's sometimes tempting to still do the same thing. When is this going to happen? And we're judging by the sight and what we see instead of what God's word says and his character, and just staying on him and saying, God, you're faithful, you're true, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to expect. I'm going to expect good things. And we just wait on him and we'll be strengthened. See, if you're waiting this way in faith, in expectation, then you're looking to God and not yourself. And if we're looking to God and ourselves, we'll be encouraged. We'll be strengthened. Because we're focusing not on... I'm telling you, any one of us could get depressed over any number of situations if we focus on the wrong thing. A lot of it has to do with where our focus is. If we're in any number of situations, if we focus on the wrong thing and keep replaying the scenarios or things that could happen and focus on that, it would get any one of us depressed. But in the same situation, if we'll wait on God, that means look to his word, expect good things from him, encourage ourselves in what he has done, encourage ourselves in how he's faithful and what his word says, then you can't help but be encouraged. in the same situation. Because it's where our focus is. It's not over here that everything's going down. We're looking at not the bad things. We're looking at God's character. And that's what will strengthen us. That's what will help us. Because we will be encouraged as we glorify Him. As we glorify Him. Let's turn over to Romans. Who's going with the Holy Spirit this morning? Let's turn over to Romans 4. So in Romans 4, it's talking about Abraham. We know the story about Abraham. Abraham didn't have any children. Sarah was old. You know, it was past the age of having children. Abraham's old himself. And God comes to him and says, you're going to be the father of many nations. Changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Says, you're going to be the father of many nations. Think of that. In the natural? Really? You're going to make me the father of many nations? Change his name so that people will call him that. So anyway, you know, Romans 4 is talking about that, the promise through faith to Abraham. And so down in Romans 4, so think about this for a minute. Abraham has been promised that he's going to have a child, but years go by. Years go by. And, of course, he tries, well, looks around. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to happen. So, I think, you know, and Sarah, well, why don't you take my maidservant? I don't know. I mean, this can't really, God can't really mean what he said. Can't really be through me. I mean, but you could still have a child. Why don't you take my maidservant? Let's just, maybe it's through her. And, of course, that's Ishmael. Dealing with that to this day. You know, he had a bunch of children and dealt with that mistake with Abraham to get off and to not wait on God and to try to do it himself. But God's faithful. And eventually Isaac was born. But during that time, he had to keep his eye on the ball. He had to wait on God. He had to encourage himself. And it didn't look so great in the natural. And Abraham wasn't a perfect person. Obviously, he made some mistakes. He lied to people and told them that Sarah was his sister so that he wouldn't get killed. I mean, just a selfish act, cowardly act. But you know what? Every one of us is not perfect, and God uses us. And so, anyway, in verse... it's a run-on sentence, so let's start in verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith, and I was just talking about this promise, that the promise to Abraham was through faith, not through the law. It was before the law. And it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, that's us, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We could preach a whole sermon right there. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And that's why I came over here, is to read that part. See, he did not, in verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. The giant that was in front of him, the man was on an age. His wife was barren all her life. Now she's way on an age, and God says, you're going to have a child. That was right in front of his face every day. You don't think he didn't see that? You think it was easy? Again, Abraham did not have the DVD. Abraham did not have the Bible to read and say, well, it all turns out right. Okay, I'm just going to coast. I know what's going on. He had to do it by faith. And he had his wife in front of him. He knows she's no young chick anymore. And she never had children. While she was. But he said, it says in 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at that. Even though it's sitting right in front of him, he looked past it and said, I'm still judging God faithful. He promised, and I am not going to let this giant in front of me stop me. In verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. See, he didn't go over here and over here. I mean, his life did show that he obviously did at some point in time. He decided to go with the maidservant, whatever. But eventually, he must have firmed up. Because it says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. See, he was strengthened giving glory to God. He was strengthened giving glory to God. He gave glory to God. He didn't look at his circumstance. He didn't look at what was here. He didn't look at the barrenness of his wife or how far he was. But he looked at God and he gave glory to God and he was strengthened. He gave glory to God. And he was strengthened. When we'll look at God, when we'll look past our circumstances, look at his word, apart from what's going on, we'll be strengthened. When we'll wait on him, we'll confidently expect him to perform his word, even though when it doesn't look like it, and just go and wait on him, it will happen. It will happen, and we'll be strengthened in the process. That's how we become strengthened. That's how we can be solid all the way through, is because our eyes, I mean, some people would say, how in the world can you still keep walking, Abraham? How? It's been years, and you don't have a child other than the one, you know, through this maidservant, but your wife doesn't look any better than she did before. How can you keep going? Because he didn't look at that. He looked at God, and he looked at the fact that God had promised him. He had God's word. God told him he would be the father of many nations. So either God, he would have to judge God faithful, which it says he did. He judged him faithful who had promised, or he was going to look at the circumstance and say, no way. Isn't any way. Look at my wife. He could have. And think about this. Like we said before, he could have done this. He could have said, look at my wife. She has never had a child her whole life. And now, I mean, she's 90 or, you know, however old she was then. She's way past age. And now she's going to have a child. And look at me. I am old. I mean, what is this? I'm old and God tells me this. And it's been years since God told me. He could have looked at all that. And he could have rehearsed all that and just gone down. But the Bible says he didn't do that. He looked over here and said, no, God's faithful. God's faithful. God promised it to me. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. He said it. He didn't consider his own body. He didn't consider his wife's body. And he just went on and said, but God said, I'll be the father of many nations, so I will be. And he was strengthened. And sometimes in our own life, we just have to say, I don't care what this situation looks like. I am going to wait on him. I'm not going to consider the circumstance here. I'm not going to consider it. And it may seem foolish to do that, because the world would tell you, you're a fool to not consider it. Well, anybody in the world then would call Abraham an absolute fool, because the doctors would have told him, you're crazy. You had a dream. You ate too much pizza. That wasn't God. But he believed, and so we do the same thing. We look and don't even consider the things that may be there. We look at God and his promises, and we wait on those. And the Bible says we'll be strengthened. We'll be encouraged. We'll be able to go on. And we'll be able to walk our walk faithfully and consistently and walk past all these giants or over them or through them or whatever we have till we get down to the end of our life and say, yep, that's what I did. This is where I wanted to be, and I'm here, and I believed God, and I'm so glad I did. Thank God. We'll get down and say, I'm so glad I did. Did you see my children and my children's children and how they walk? Because I was faithful and they have been faithful, and there's a legacy there because we chose to believe God. Amen. Amen. We can do that. We just look at him and be encouraged and strengthened in him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.